I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. I'm joined now once again by Bill Thielman. The political commentator is a columnist to the 24 Hours paper each and every Tuesday. He's also heard Mondays on CKNW at 10 a.m. He's also the president of the the No BCSTV Campaign Society, and he joins me today to discuss the STV proposal and why he's working to defeat it Tuesday, May 12th. Their website is nostv.org. He was communications director to former Premier Glenn Clark. He's reported and written about the raid on the legislature and the BC Rail privatization. He's much admired for his work in this regard and really his tenacity. His blog, where you can read all of his writing, is billthielman.blogspot.com. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Bill Thielman. Good morning, Mr. Thielman.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
How is the STV campaign going?
Really well, actually. We've just received some polling results that came down the last day or so, and in fact, what it's showing is that both Mustel Group, who had a poll out yesterday, and also the Angus Reid Group have another poll out, both show us ahead of the first past the post. And as you know, and I'm sure your listeners know, the yes to STV side needs to win by 60%. What Angus Reid found yesterday is that we're ahead 55-45, and the Mustel Group has found that we are ahead 43-33 with 24% undecided.
Because you'd done this 4 years ago, is it easier this time around?
Well, was it easier for Bill Murray to do Groundhog Day scene after scene? Honestly, I'm making the same arguments with the same people and doing the same interviews 4 years later. It feels like Groundhog Day. It's a bit easier. I'll tell you why, though. The big difference over 2005 is this time we have actual riding maps under STV that let people know what would happen. They can actually say, look, I live in Quesnel, what would happen under STV? And they can see, oh, I'd be in a riding with four MLAs, and the riding stretches from Quesnel in the north all the way down to the U.S. border in the south. Or, for example, the North Island South Coast riding. Folks there can see that the riding stretches from Tofino and Yucula on the far west coast of Vancouver Island all the way across the Strait of Georgia to Powell River, Seychelles, and Gibson's. And once they see those sort of things, they say, this is crazy.
There were some polls early on in the campaign that said that people weren't familiar with the proposals. Mm-hmm. They weren't generally engaged with the campaign in general. Are you finding that people are engaged in the campaign and as well, that they're aware about STV and why they should or shouldn't vote for it?
Well, what we're finding now is that through the course of this campaign, and as you know, both sides, the yes and no side, were given $500,000 in funding from the provincial government to do public awareness campaigns. And in fact, that's worked. I think what's happened is we've been doing television advertising, radio advertising, print advertising. We have a website with a lot of information on it, as you mentioned the URL earlier. And what Angus Reid found is that only 9% of people are not aware at all that there's a referendum. Well, it was 40% a month ago. So that's exactly what we had hoped to do. And we said last time, we've said it this time, that the more people find out about STV, the less they like it.
Now, is there a link to how people will vote in the general election as to how they'll vote in the referendum?
The Angus Reid poll that came out earlier indicated that the predominant, where they sort of did a cross-tabulations from their polling, and they found that the most likely to support STV were Green Party supporters, and that's no surprise because Green Party leader Jane Stirk is pushing it, and the Green Party is 100% or whatever, at least as an organization, they're behind it. Then NDP voters were next likely to vote for it, and BC Liberals were unlikely to vote for it. So it does cut across party lines, though those are sort of broad generalizations. It's certainly not I support the NDP. There's lots of people in our campaign who support the NDP. There's lots of people who support Liberals or Greens, and they're opposed to STV as well. So it's not a 100% thing at all, but the predominant support for STV is coming from the Green Party and then to a lesser degree the NDP. But there are some Liberals who are supporting it, and I'm sure BC Conservatives and Refederation and et cetera. So.
People from the yes side have said, you and David Schreck, who's been on, that you're the two public faces of the no campaign, and you're pretty much establishment figures, party hacks, or backroom boys, of all three. You'll disagree with that, I'm sure.
Well, no, I mean, that's, you know, I find it regrettable that the yes side has taken to some sort of attempts to, you know, aim at the personalities thing. I mean, I could say that their supporters, I mean, I could say all sorts of things about their supporters, but the reality is, One of their key spokespersons is Bruce Halser. He's run for the Federal Conservative Party. Nick Lunan was a Social Credit MLA. Rafe Mayer was a Social Credit MLA and cabinet minister. Their office is in Bob Penner's Strategic Communications headquarters, who Bob Penner very closely connected with Jack Layton. You know, there's all sorts of people involved on both sides. Andrew Petter is a big advocate for STV. He was a former NDP attorney general. You know, so the idea that we're all the political operatives and they're all babes in the woods, peers of driven snow, is just ridiculous. There's people on both sides who have been involved in political process and have a different perspective. And what's wrong with that?
Now, you're against STV now. Does that mean that you're happy with First Past the Post?
Well, our organization doesn't take a position like that. We have people like Andrea Reimer, the city councilor here in Vancouver, who is a strong advocate for mixed member proportional. We also have on our executive, actually, Rick Dignard, who was representing the Sunshine Coast for the Citizens Assembly. He believes a proportional list system would be much better. We have people who do think First Past the Post is good but could be improved, and that there's things you can do in terms of the way the legislature works rather than electoral systems. I think what we all agree, though, I mean, it's like the United Nations of politics, and what we all agree is the STV is a bad system and it should not be implemented in British Columbia. After that, we agree to disagree, so we don't really take any other position than that, and that's why we've been able to get along successfully as a coalition.
But personally, are you happy with the way things are now?
I'm not out advocating for a change to a different system personally, but it's not an organizational position. Joseph, that there are things that could be done within our existing legislature under a current system that could make for real improvements in the way democracy functions. For example, more resources to members of the legislature independently, not just through the party or the caucus, but as a right, if you're an MLA, you get certain resources. I'm not saying this would work or it's a good idea, but we could look at having the BC budget passed by a supermajority, say 60%. Which would almost guarantee that the government would have to find opposition support for the budget in order to pass it. There's all sorts of things that could be done that way. I am not saying that there is no system that's better than First Past the Post. I don't know. But I'm certainly saying that STV is a very bad system. And that's why people like who want mixed member proportional and others are also saying vote no, otherwise we'll be stuck with STV for what's recommended by the Citizens Assembly, which is 3 elections, 12 years after the 2013 STV first election if it was passed. That's a long time for a bad system.
But they say, a lot of yes side proponents are saying that if we vote no on Tuesday, that'll end electoral reform.
Well, I don't think that's likely to be the case because there's a lot of people who are interested in it. There's, you know, I mean, we're up. We're a pretty small last minute group here, the No STV group. We're up against Fair Vote Canada, Fair Vote BC, organizations that have been around for dozens of years who have resources, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think they're just going to go away if they lose.
Now, from the yes side literature, they say that the net result is that power shifts from political parties to the voters under STV, because voters are able to choose to rank their candidates. Do you think that political parties would end under STV?
No, not at all. The most party-dominated backroom politicking country that I've been able to find in democracy is Ireland under STV. And under STV, they have people there. I mean, I've heard the folks who, you know, basically say what a wonderful job STV does, I don't know how they've ever actually looked at the Irish record. I mean, for example, Joseph, one of the things they say is, well, there are no safe seats under STV, and the politicians have to respond to the voters and stop paying attention to the party. I've got a list here in my hand of the 10 longest-serving members of the Irish Parliament, the Dáil, and they rank from the rookie of the bunch, Oliver J. Flanagan, who's been there for 43 years, and the guy with the most seniority, Paddy Smith, has been there for 54 years, continuously long-serving members. There's 10 of them who've gone for that long, and gosh knows how many others who've been around for 10, 20, 30 years. This is just, you know, there's so much bogus information that the Yes side has put out, and it frustrates me. The same thing, you may want to ask this question, but women, they say, well, we'll get more women elected under STV. Look at the actual record. Ireland, in the last election, elected 13.3% women legislators to their parliament. That's 13.3. Malta, which also has STV, the only two countries that use STV as their national system, less than 10% women elected, and in both countries, that's the high point. Now, I don't think we have enough women in the legislature. I totally support the idea of increasing it, but we have 23% today. So they're suggesting, let's go to a system where less than half of that will be elected. Or are elected, and that's in 90 years of using STV.
Now, the other quarrel that you and the NO organization have is that these giant ridings that'll be formed, and you mentioned that earlier about how just big they will be. Wouldn't the cure for that be just more constituency offices throughout the riding?
Well, no, because I think people have a right to have access to their member of the legislature. And if you've got this riding, which I mentioned before, North Island, South Coast, well, the good folks on the Sunshine Coast may not have anyone elected from their area. And so an MLA who got elected from Port Alberni or Tofino or Upper Island, Courtney Comox, may say, you know what, I don't know anybody in the Sunshine Coast, and they didn't vote for me anyway. I'm not setting up an office there. And if all four members are from the island, then what are the folks going to do? You'll probably have a lot more expense because the government will eventually have to set up offices with staff because there's no MLA for those areas, potentially. And in debating, the yes side says, well, the parties will figure that out and they'll make sure there's somebody from there. It doesn't. First of all, it's an open nomination, a Democratic nomination. You can't say, sorry, we're only going to take one person from the Sunshine Coast and three from the island. And number one. Number two, they've got to get nominated. And number three, they've got to get elected.
Now, I want to ask you about the general election. I remember when you were on about 4 years ago, you mentioned a quote from Bill Vanderzam saying how people don't like Gordon Campbell, but they don't know why.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just came out with a column this week about reasons why we should vote him out. Mm-hmm. I've seen it numerous times on the Internet, people forwarding it via email and the sort. Are you finding that people are thinking the same?
Well, I think there's a lot of people, and just so we're clear, just I am taking off my No STV hat because I don't get involved in any of the partisan politics when I'm talking about that. I don't. That's just this is just me as a commentator.
Correct.
I think there's lots of reasons why people are upset with the premier. I don't know if you've seen yet, but the conservative MP for Delta Richmond, John Cummins, has come out with a statement saying why he thinks Gordon Campbell, the BC Liberal, should be defeated. A good, solid right-wing member of parliament. And I put that on my blog if people are interested in seeing it. And he makes arguments about the fish farms and loss of agricultural land and a lot of things that I believe. I don't agree with John Cummins on a whole bunch of stuff, but on a lot of the reasons he gives, they're the same reasons I give. And I find it interesting that people on sort of the what's traditionally called the right-hand side of the political fence, also Wolf Haney. I had a good chat with Wolf Haney. I interviewed him, and that's also on my blog. But he agrees with me on BC Rail, on BC Hydro, on a whole bunch of stuff. And, I think if the Premier is defeated and the Liberals are defeated, it'll be sort of because they managed to alienate both the left and the right at the same time.
Now, Carol James is getting a lot of criticism about her, that she'd probably not be the right person to handle the economy. You disagree with that, I'm sure.
Well, look, it's fair game for someone to look at the background and record of each leader and say, you know, what is it? Gordon Campbell is not a business person. He had a couple of minor escapades in the business community. He had a poorly done development, and then he basically has been a professional politician all his life, city councilor, mayor, opposition leader, premier. Carol James has been the chair of the school trustees of BC. She's done a number of different things there. So fair game if you want to criticize her. But the second part is look at the record. I mean, BC lost 23,000 jobs last month, the largest job loss in Canada. We're one of two provinces whose GDP growth will actually have shrunk in 2008. That's what Statistics Canada is reporting, not just me. And we've got all sorts of problems. We've got a convention center with a cost overrun of $400 million. So when I hear the business community and the premier himself saying, you know, I'm the great guy for the economy because I have a great record in the business, I just find it ludicrous.
Now, in the election on Tuesday, do you think the Greens will be a factor at all?
Yeah, they might keep Gordon Campbell in power, but they won't win a single seat. They won't come second in a single seat as far as I'm concerned. They didn't last time. And Jane Stirk will not be elected. But if enough people say, well, I'm going to vote Green, even though the NDP has a better, sort of track record on many environmental things and can get people elected and is the only party that can defeat Gordon Campbell, and Gordon Campbell has probably the worst, most destructive record in the environment we've ever seen in this province. Unfortunately, a few people like David Suzuki and Tizapora Berman have gone out and said, oh, well, the NDP is against the carbon tax and the Liberals are for it, so that's that. Well, there's a lot more to the environment than the carbon tax, which is, in my view, an unfair and an ineffective tax. But in any case, what about fish farms? Alexander Morton, who's the biologist who's been fighting fish farms for years and has done so much great work, She was furious with Suzuki and Berman, just furious with them, and as I've written and other people have, and I think you have to look at the whole record and say, is that where you want to go? Now, I don't ever begrudge someone. If you truly believe the Green Party is the right party, you should vote for the Green Party. That's fine. But I think you do have to look and say, you know, given the fact that your vote for the Greens might keep the Liberals in power, which means more fish farms, more offshore, I mean, they continue to push for offshore oil and gas exploration, which I think is disastrous, then you have to, you know, this is what our system is about, making difficult choices. And I don't, you know, I there's just, the reality is the Greens have been trying for almost 25 years in this province to elect somebody. They've never really come close.
Now, Dave, you got a prediction on what will happen Tuesday?
Boy, oh boy, you know, this is one, I have no bets. This is an unusual election. I have no bets yet. And Angus Reid putting it 2 points apart, that means the NDP could win. Because, as you know, we have 85 individual elections, not one giant election here. And it's riding by riding where you count them up and then see who's got the most. So, you know, if the Liberals lose Delta South to Vicky Huntington, who I think has an excellent chance over Wally Opal, if they lose the three Burnabys they hold, if they lose Comox with the late Sten Hagen gone, you know, and the NDP holds their vote, their seats, then it's over for the Liberals. On the other hand, Evie Mostel and the Mostel Group reported a 9-point gap for the Liberals. If that's true, then it'd be pretty hard to see how the NDP could win. So we've got contradictory polls. We've got Ipsos coming up tomorrow as we record this. And, you know, I don't know. I would say it's going to be a very close election, and whoever wins is going to probably win it on the ground, you know, in a riding-by-riding battle. And you know, we saw last time there were, I think, 10 seats that were decided by less than 1,000 votes, and it could be that again, and it could go the other way, or it could, the Liberals could win.
Bill, good luck with the referendum campaign. You're a busy man, and you're good to do this. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
You're very welcome. BillTielman.blogspot.com, their website, nostv.org. Read him in the 24 hours on Tuesday, and listen to him on the Bill Good program on Mondays. Bill Thielman on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.